have a terrible, terrible confession to make. That story I told you yesterday was just a story.
Oh, that. Well, we didn't exactly believe your story, Miss... what is your name? Wonderly or LeBlanc?
It's really O'Shaughnessy. Bridget O'Shaughnessy.
We didn't exactly believe your story, Miss O'Shaughnessy. We believed you $200.
You mean that...
I mean you paid us more than if you'd been telling us the truth, and enough more to make it all right.
Tell me, Mr. Spade, am I to blame for last night?
Well, you warned us that Thursby was dangerous. Of course, you lied to us about your sister and all that, but that didn't count. We didn't believe you. No, I wouldn't say that you were at fault.
Thank you. Mr. Archer was so alive yesterday. So solid and hearty.
Stop it. You know what he was doing? Those are the chances we take.
Just got home from Illinois. Locked the front door, oh boy. Got to sit down, take a rest on the porch. Imagination sets in. Pretty soon I'm singing. Doo, doo, doo. Looking out my back door. It's giant doing cartwheels. Statue wearing.
Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
So good. This is Damian.
And this might be... No, it is. It is, Douglas.
Without time. Yes. Without time.
No?
Without time.
I have all the time in the world.
Let's move on.
Fuck you. You're the one that was late. It's your fault.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right,
I would
guys,
say you're a quarter to seven.
that's your clock, which you rounded back an hour just...
No, I still use daylight savings time.
Oh, okay. Right. Anyways, before we move any further, there are a couple of things I want to bring up.
Yes.
Number one, to everyone listening, I have started a new podcast. It is up on gmanreviews.com. It's called The Movies You Love Podcast. It's where I get to sit down with all sorts of people and talk about the movies that help them fall in love with film. The first episode is up, in which I talk to Andrew Parker about LA Confidential. It'll be up every other week. I hope you guys will enjoy it. An iTunes feed will be up hopefully by the time this episode is up of Thump. So yeah, go and find out about that.
Andrew.
Oh, so this podcast is over.
I wish that you were able to see the look that went between myself and Damien a while ago. The pain, the cheated feeling that was in our eyes. Andrew?
Yeah.
Andrew?
I like how he didn't even discuss it with us. He's like, you know what? Fuck those guys. no one gives a shit about what movies they love.
I still love you guys. Don't worry.
I like how we're not on the first episode. He's like, I'm not even going to talk to him.
No, of course.
Ever again at this point.
It's right. Too much work to get you guys here.
Okay. All right. So, Andrew, continue with the unnamed Andrew podcast.
Yeah. The Andrew, soon to be the Andrew only podcast.
Oh, man. Anyways, starting out this week's podcast, there was one thing I really wanted us to talk about before we get into the regular podcast, is this news of the Veronica Mars film. You guys heard about this?
Yes. Can I chime in on this one?
Sure.
Go right ahead.
I have to kind of preface this with just letting everybody know that for a long time, I was never a big TV show watcher. I was more into the movies. Yes, I'd watch, you know, Seinfeld or, you know, whatever show was just on TV at the time and watch it and enjoy it and say whatever. I'm watching movies now. But Veronica Mars is the first TV show that I ever marathoned. I know that Damian is about to throw up.
You ran a train on Veronica.
Yes, I did. I did.
Oh, Damian, why?
And,
why?
Oh, so sweet it was. But that show kind of illuminated me, broadened my mind. It opened my mind to the lovely experience that is great. Oh, well, maybe I shouldn't use great.
Oh, it's great, no.
Beside Veronica Mars. But enjoyable television in bite-sized chunks. And how that could, even though it's bite-sized chunks, how that could translate into a never-ending montage of wonderfulness. And so with that, I am very happy to hear that while it may or may not still happen, and it seems, at least from the interwebs, that Veronica Mars is actually about to get a movie.
No, it's confirmed.
It's, well, that's what they say about all sorts of things. I never really take it as serious until I'm in the theater watching the movie.
How's that Bioshock movie?
Exactly.
That Uncharted movie. World of Warcraft movie.
But anyway, I'm very happy that... I think this is probably the beginning of not quite a new era, but what people now, I think, have come to realize is that crowdfunding can actually be significant. It doesn't have to be somebody in the back of their basement building maybe five pieces of electronics or carving five pieces of wood into a case or whatever it is. If you have big enough demand and foolish enough people to spend that money, you can raise essentially as much as you need in order to do what you want to do. So they raised $2 million in, I believe it was 2 days, and it's still going.
I think it was about a day.
There you go. Even better than what I read of or remember reading. So I think that this is really cool, and it's just an added bonus to me that this is something this is a product I actually enjoyed watching.
So herein lies one of the most interesting angles that I've been thinking about when it comes to this news. Is while I'm a big, I believe in the crowdfunding, I believe in Kickstarter. I've supported a couple Kickstarter campaigns so far. Whenever I think about Kickstarter campaigns, I kind of think of, kind of like how you were mentioning, Douglas, people in their basement who are like, look, I want to make this really cool thing, but I don't have the kind of marketability that all of these other Sony products, or even when we're talking about movies, we can talk about Kick-Ass or whatever, go and they can get all of their money and from
Isn't
the studios.
Kick-Ass a Sony product as well?
I believe it is.
Funny. Well done.
Veronica Mars is, while I know it's not the equivalent of, say, Man of Steel or Lord of the Rings, where those are bankable without even thinking about it, it's still a product that comes under the marketability of things that are working out in Hollywood. We're talking about people who, and when we see that these people have gotten the green light from the studio saying, look, if you can get it funded from Kickstarter, we'll allow you the rights so that you can go and make your movie. It kind of feels like a double dip for all of the fans, where all of these fans who have been begging for this to happen will finally get to see their movie, but they, A, had to pay to fund the movie, and these are people who are not going to be considered as investors in any case, right? Mm-hmm. They are not going... Someone who put down literally $10,000 in a contribution in this campaign, he's not going to be seen as an investor who's going to be getting back a 1% of the profit. He's paid for just the ability of having this movie made. And then when the movie comes out in theaters, they're not going to say, here's a free ticket. He has to go and then buy his ticket to go and watch the movie. Right? Is something like Veronica Mars, or even I'd go so far as to say if they were to go and make a Serenity 2, where they go and they have to kickstart for that, because obviously that's one of those projects which has a big fan base, but Hollywood doesn't consider it marketable enough that they would put money behind it themselves. Are these things kind of backpedaling off of the crowdfunding and the fan base? Is this a slap to the fan base? Or is this okay because we all actually gave it money?
You see, it's you have a good point. And you can look at it from both sides of the fence, right? You are actually quite right in the sense that it's almost unfair to say to somebody that, well, no matter how much money you spend, whether it's $10,000 or $10, that you are funding this venture, you are providing the startup capital, and yet you're seeing no return. And I can tell you that that's almost criminal, coming from especially my background, because I work exactly in that industry. I raise money for people. And I make sure that the people that give me money don't get screwed most of the time.
Oh.
And let's remember, 5%. And let's remember at the end of the fact that when this movie comes out, hopefully, I think it's next, it's 2014 they're aiming for, that when it comes out and it makes $500,000 to $1 million in receipts over 6 months, all of that profit goes directly to WB.
Exactly. And WB essentially has plug or put no money into it. I know that they said they're going to fund some marketing, and while I'm sure that will be some significant figure, it's definitely nowhere near what they should have put in. And that is sort of a failing of Kickstarter itself. But you can look at it from the other side of the fence as well, which is to say that all of these fans knew this up front, and what they wanted, their benefit or their return, so to speak, is that they get to watch this movie, even if they have to pay for it again. And while I haven't personally put any money into it, I've actually thought about it and probably will end up putting some money, because I also want to see this movie, even if I have to pay for it again. Now, what I think will be an interesting offshoot of this kind of Kickstarter model, maybe Kickstarter will do it itself, maybe somebody else will come in, is a website that essentially does what Kickstarter does, but with the added feature, we could call it, of actually providing ownership. So
some return on investment.
Exactly. So it's essentially, it's almost like an automated broker per se, where instead of saying that it's an IPO, it's you know, seed funding. Uh-huh. And the Kickstarter would be able to send a list of all the people that gave money, how much money they gave, and then there'd be sort of an equity ownership in it. But
Kickstarter doesn't.
Because of the SEC, right? So no, there would
and people would smuggle, people would launder a ungodly amount of money.
Well, no. I wouldn't say that. Listen here, sir. Mm-hmm. I would put the argument to you that what Kickstarter does now still facilitates that.
That is true.
Okay? So that is not an issue. No,
but
right?
At least you know going in that you're not getting jack shit out of it.
Well, no, the truth of the matter is, it's not that you're not getting jack shit out of it, you know. So me giving somebody money through Kickstarter doesn't stop anybody from outside of Kickstarter giving me something in return, right? I've seen Kickstarter campaigns where they say that if you give me $100, I will ship to you this product that I'm begging you money for. So it's not as if that can't happen.
No, but I'm not talking about with physical. I'm talking, you're saying the movie thing.
Yeah, but remember, you know, what a stock is, a stock started out as a physical thing. It was a piece of paper. Right now it's dematerialized in most places, but that still doesn't
stop
you.
I'm talking about your fictional movie. The movie, I'm not talking about Kickstarter as it is now, because there's clearly failings of Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I'm talking about your fictional movie version, right, where all this website does is, you know, put in your money,
about movies.
You make movies,
it's essentially,
and then they give
it's
you
essentially
back
funding for companies, because remember, a movie is really just a venture. I have been involved in ventures where a movie is the product of that venture.
We have the DVD to prove it.
And essentially, all you have to do to have that is create a company and, you know, go forth, issue shares and all that good stuff. But, you know, all I'm saying is that it is possible for there to be a Kickstarter on drugs per se, which is to say that not only do you just pump money into an endless hole, you pump money and get, you know, shares for that money or whatever it is. And I'm sure that there are smart enough people to wade through the waters of the SEC regulations and the Anti-Money Laundering Act and all of those great things. It can happen. I don't think it's going to happen today, but, you know, it's something that I think
Jamaica is a wild west. No one cares. We don't have anti-laundering or none of that here.
We actually do.
Are you sure about it?
Yes. So I work at a bank. Remind me.
Of course. All right. Andrew, I understand what you're saying about, you know, it's double dipping. But that's only because it's not something that you desperately want. And that will always be the argument. If it was,
okay,
if someone came to me and said, Damian White, we want to make Torque 2. I would give them all the money in the world.
So Damian,
to make Torque 2.
Right? Let's imagine for a second, and I actually believe this could be a truth. If Veronica Mars had happened 8 years ago, right? Imagine Veronica Mars happened 8 years ago, and they set a precedent, and they kind of get, Hollywood gets in their brain, holy shit, we can hold all of these fan-based properties
hostage,
pretty much ransom for them to say, you have to pay for it. Imagine if they did that for Batman Begins, where even though Batman is a name, they already know that they shit the bed with Batman and Robin, and no one in Hollywood really thought it would be as big a property as it once was. So they're like, look, you guys want Batman again, I want $50 million so I can do it. Go.
Andrew, as long as people are stupid, other people will take advantage of them. That is how the world works. People who are smart find ways to get money out of people who are not as smart. I don't back any Kickstarters for a simple reason. If they want to offer some product for people to kickstart, that is fine. If it is successful and they turn it into a real thing, I will go and buy that real thing from a real company. I refuse to give somebody money in hopes that they build me something. If I give Sony money, Sony has to ship me something, and I have to deem that that thing is worth my money. And that is what people do on Kickstarter, in all fairness. But that is not a real thing. That is, we want to do something, and if you give us some money now, we'll probably... The thing that Kickstarter... The one thing on Kickstarter that I've ever wanted is the Oculus Rift thing, the VR goggles that everybody has been raving over. When that becomes a real thing that I can walk into Amazon, in quotations, and click the button and buy, and they ship it to me, then I will pay Kickstarter, and then whoever is supposed to get their money on the back end gets their money. That has nothing to do with me. And that is the reason I don't back Kickstarters. But that is just me. There's other people who, for whatever reasons, they deem it worth their money. And I cannot sit here and say, I don't think someone should spend their money on whatever it is they want to spend their money on. It is their money. But if the studios, say Veronica Mars is a ginormous success, right? It can do one or two things. It can either have the studio's whole properties ransom, as you say.
Yeah.
Or they can look back at all the nonsense that they have and go, well, people have been clamoring for this for a long enough time. Maybe if we put it out now, it will make us a truckload of money. I mean, the things like this has happened before without Kickstarter. Futurama was off the air.
Mm-hmm.
And people bitched and moaned long enough, and they put Futurama back on
the air. Yeah, but the difference is, and I think this is a point Andrew's making, mm-hmm. for them to put Futurama back on the air, they pumped in the money.
Right.
And so it wasn't what Andrew is saying, which is true, the company essentially raping the fans. And in this case, that's exactly what they're doing, but on the other side of the fence, those people who are giving money know exactly what they're doing, and they're just hoping that, you know, at least they get their enjoyment out of that movie.
So, let's look at, he said Batman, the budget for the first Batman was what, $150 million? Now, if they can crowdfund $150 million, then fine. I really don't think they would have crowdfunded $150 million. And then, on the back end, they still have all this distribution to deal with, all this marketing to deal with. Yes, you have the people who have already thrown away money into this venture to go, but if it's going to make any real money, that's why these studios were set up, so that they can pool together large sums of money in order to make even larger sums of money. Avatar, if James Cameron had come out and said, I made Aliens, I made Titanic, I need $500 million to make blue people fly on dragons, do you think you would have gotten the money? I don't think so. Right? So there is I'm pretty sure there's a limit. I'm not sure what the limit is to how much Kickstarter can fund, because things have made $10 million, lots of money. But there will come a point where people will look at how much money someone is asking for and go, I don't think this is... Plus, Kickstarter has the failsafe where if it doesn't make its money,
yeah, it will give it
everybody
back,
gets back
right,
their money.
Yeah.
So. I hope they keep pushing it. By all means, keep getting more and more esoteric things funded. If someone says Tortue or all sorts of nonsense, fine. Because people know what they're getting into going in. And yes, it is double dipping, but think of the alternative. That money would have never gone to that thing in the first place. You'd have never gone. You'd have sat down on forums.
And the truth is that
and bitched
a site like that just fosters so much creation and innovation that it's...
Well, listen, here lies the thing, right? As I said, I always like Kickstarter. I mean, some of the things that they've funded through it, I'm so happy to see. Freddie Wong's video game high school series is completely Kickstarter funded. And I don't know if you guys have ever checked that out. I know the first one is up on Netflix Instant. And I'm not calling it a great piece of movie making or anything. I just think it's a really fun little piece of film, and I'm happy that he's able to expand his creations from his tiny YouTube videos into what that is. And even there's this filmmaker, I can't remember his name. He has a film which has been touring around festivals and is going to be up in VOD later this month, which I so want to see, called How to Make a Sherman Musical, How to Make a Sherman Song. I need to get the name right. And that was also another big Kickstarter fund, which was like a few hundred thousand dollars, I believe. Right? And those are things which I can see the reason as to why they go to Kickstarter, as opposed to Veronica Mars, which is under WB.
I hope the Veronica Mars movie comes out and is a total piece of shit. And then people go, see, that's why you do Kickstarter shit. And everybody will ignore that immediately. Like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't. But, Andrew, there is always a point where you have to get professional. There's a reason companies like Sony exist. And there's a reason they don't build all the shit that we want them to build.
I don't like that argument. And let me tell
there's
you
a
why.
Point where, no,
I agree. I agree on. That things done by professionals established skill sets and reputations sometimes, maybe not most times, but a lot of times produce good products, right? But you have to remember, all of those professionals... Mm-hmm. got their reputation and their skills by starting somewhere. And just because these folks at Kickstarter, not saying Veronica Mars, because the Veronica Mars teams will be made up of people like that. Mm-hmm. But these folks at Kickstarter doing like the projects that Andrew is talking about. Again, in anything, you have your upper crust, your top 1%. And at some point, you're going to have the top 1% of Kickstarter who are actually... essentially at that level that you're talking about. So I don't want you to use that argument to say that because you're going to Kickstarter, essentially you don't have a good level of skill to provide the product.
That is not what I was saying.
Okay.
What I was saying is, at some point, companies like Sony, and I like how we keep harping on Sony, and Samsung, and all these major companies, they have processes that get shit built, right? And get things done. Movie studios have processes. They can look at a thing and go, these are the risks. This is how much we think it will make. This is how much you should probably put in there in order to make back this thing. Now, Kickstarter doesn't have that. You have hopes and dreams. And no one at the helm going, this is a dumb idea. And it will make no money. And that is why Kickstarter is great. Because it is where... Kickstarter is where dreams are built. And companies are where dreams are crushed and refined into products.
I think that is the quote of the year.
Alright. Samsung put out their
S4. Yeah.
And
I was sad about.
I saw all the things and I went, okay. And after it came out, I went, all right, so now I definitely know what phone I'm going to buy. And my sister said, Damien, why would you buy the... Sadly, it is the Sony phone we're going to keep our brother.
Because I was about to the say, it better not be the S4.
No. My sister's like, why would you buy the Sony phone? I said, all right, let me... There comes a point in everybody's life where you must weigh things. You either need utility or you need stupidity. By stupidity, I mean gimmicks. All the shit that Samsung ran out was all gimmicks. That's all software shit that no one is ever going to use or need. Sony waterproofing the phone is no matter what Samsung puts in that phone, it won't be waterproof. That is a thing, a physical thing that one phone can do that none of the other phones can do. And there, you have to weigh certain things. And it's the same thing with Kickstarter. When you have Kickstarters, you can dream up anything you want. But then there'll be a point where you look and you go, what if I need a thing to do, a real thing? And that is why you have all these large corporations building you shit. So that, you know, after the dreams and stuff is over and you need a lawnmower, I don't want a lawnmower from Kickstarter. I want a lawnmower from the people who's been building them for thousands of years.
But can I tell you, Damien, to get to a completely different conversation.
Yes.
While I was very disappointed in the S4, there was one thing that I was extremely excited about. And that was when they said, our chip has 8 cores.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
And now what exactly do you plan to do?
I know, course? Right?
That is the stupidity part again, though. That has literally no utility
to
you.
So what we should do, right? What you should do, you should buy both phones, open both of them up,
and just take the processor out of the Sony and put phone. It in the other one. That makes sense. I'll need a soldering iron. I wonder if Kickstarter has it.
All right, guys. I think we should move on at this point.
What?
Okay, so
we can stop being the technology podcast. Exactly.
What exactly are we moving? The Veronica Mars podcast. Veronica Mars is garbage. I just wanted to set up before we move on. Douglas is wrong. That show sucks.
Well, I like Veronica Mars. I don't have Veronica hopes Mars. For the movie.
I know what it is. Mm-hmm. It is one of my guilty pleasures. That's all I have to say.
As long as Ken Marino gets cast, I'm happy.
Oh man, that guy's awesome. We're talking about Veronica's dad, right?
No. We're talking about the other PI.
Oh yes, he's hilarious.
Douglas Robinson.
I love him. Yeah.
You don't know Ken Marino? He was in Wanderlust as well. Yeah,
no. I don't know his real name. I mean, I know him from a lot of stuff because he's in the state, which is
There's only one thing I would kickstart.
What's that?
One actual thing I would kickstart. The conversion of the wire into HD.
Exactly, you see? And that is the beauty in Kickstarter. There is always something that you are willing to knowingly throw your money away.
No, it wouldn't be throwing away money.
It would be throwing away money. Let me tell you why. Because you still have to buy it.
No. The Kickstarter would be, you put down $500.
Uh-huh.
And we will ship you.
But Damien, okay.
We'll ship you the HD copy.
And if a thousand of you do it, we'll ship all of you.
All right. Damien, let me ask you this question. If it was that HBO said to you, listen.
Yes.
We will convert the wire to Blu-ray if you give us money, but we are not willing to ship it to you. You can then spend the $40 or the $20. No. The answer is no. Answer you would not do it.
No.
And then you would not purchase.
Remember, you don't have to kickstart $500 in it. Right. You could kickstart $20. So you're telling me instead of spending, let's say the retail is $40, you would not then spend $60 or $80 on that item?
No, because I know enough people would fund it. And if it didn't get funded, I know it's not worth it to whoever is doing the conversion.
But is it worth it to you?
Yes, it would be worth it to me.
So if they came to you and said, Damien, wait, no, hold on. They said, Damien, we have made almost all of our money. We just need $50.
Right.
And you would know that if you put in your $50, it would get made and you'd be able to spend the $40 extra.
Then I'd go to them and say, I'll give you $90. Ship me the product. I don't play those games. That's like gambling, Douglas. I don't gamble.
But remember, Kickstarter gives back your money if it doesn't go through.
Right. And so if it doesn't go through, if HBO says that, and enough people don't kickstart it, then I'll go, well, I guess I am the only person that wants this. And then I go and negotiate with HBO and say, how much money do I need to give you in order to get this done?
They're like, $5 million.
Right? And then I say, I own the rights to the wire. And I get them in HD. And I go, well, yeah, because nobody else wants it. Then I would find a way to get them their $5 million.
Rob you'd some bank, you'd, it doesn't you'd start matter. Your own Kickstarter. Say,
it doesn't matter what I need.
Get Damien the wire.
Round the money.
Right. Start and every time Michael K. Williams appears on a show and whistles, you tell him he owes
and
you
$100. And then I would dump all of that to YouTube and the world would have it forever. HD wire. I'd never do work again.
Sounds good.
I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me? When you don't believe a word I say, we can't go on together with suspicious minds, and we can build our dreams on suspicious minds.
But let's move on. We watched a couple of trailers this week, yes. I believe. The first trailer that we saw was glorious, some people might say.
Mm-hmm.
It was the trailer, the Red Band trailer, yes. For Kick-Ass 2.
Me and Hit Girl were training every day. There were more and more people joining us every night.
Colonel Stars and Stripes reporting for duty.
Try to have fun. Otherwise, what's the point?
A world full of superheroes, huh? Where do they get a load of me?
I am gonna make Kick-Ass pay for what he did to my dad. Henceforth, I'll be known as the motherfucker.
Andrew, what did you think of this one?
Can someone remind me whose movie this is? I know it's I'm not actually, mine.
Oh, this is Damien's, I believe.
Yes, of course.
It's Damien's. Yep. Damien, you're good to go. This movie is going to be great. Yes. This like Jim Carrey is one of those people who I know he splits his work between the safe family movie where we go like, oh, okay, there, and then he goes and he does something ridiculously interesting where all of the acting talent that we know he has from movies like The
guys,
Truman Show,
guys,
Eternal
the director
Sunshine.
Of this movie is the worst. That is what I wanted to bring up before we get into it.
Okay,
else.
So I'd like to just go through
right.
The list of his movies. Now, I won't mention the shorts, right? So there are three of those, but there are three feature-length mm-hmm. films, one being this one, Kick-Ass 2, which has not come out. So let's go through the first two. First, we have Cry Wolf, mm-hmm. released in 2005, and oh my god, I don't even want to look at that. That poster looks scary. And the second, which I think we all know, Never Back Down. Yeah. Have you ever seen this movie, Andrew?
No, I have not.
I know I haven't, because I did not want to watch a movie starring Amber Heard, Sean
Guys,
Faris,
sadly, I
and
have seen
Jimon Hunsu.
I have seen Never Back
now,
Down.
No, listen, Jimon, while you were a notoriety for a couple of years, you have faded into nothingness for a reason. You're not that good. Never Back Down looked horrible.
All right, are you quite finished, Andrew? You're making a point.
No, I'm worried because I honestly believe that this was directed by Matthew Vaughn.
Oh, of course not.
I did not know that they changed directors.
I was hoping no one would bring that up.
Andrew, you know the Hollywood rule. The actors sign on for 3 or 4 movies, the director signs on for one. All right.
Very, very true. But right, I'm still going to have hope because Jim Carrey still looks awesome in this movie.
Yes, I agree. Jim Carrey looks awesome.
Can we talk about the trailer now?
All right, so let's talk about the trailer. Andrew, what did you think of this trailer?
Oh, I love this trailer. I mean, okay. I do feel like there was a bit in that last shot where what's her name? Chloe Moretz is on the panel van. That it did look a little bit cheap, but otherwise it looked great. I loved it.
Damian,
Chloe Moretz is older.
It's not like as fun to see her curse.
I don't like that because the older she gets, the more feelings I have towards her. And it is no longer fun.
How old is she? Is it okay to have feelings for her?
No, I don't think it's okay yet.
No, it is not.
Oh my.
She's like 12.
She was born in 1997.
Yeah.
Damian. Yeah. Yes. Calm down.
Douglas, I'm well aware. Thank you, Douglas. I'm well aware that it is inappropriate for me to have these things.
So I will. Oh, sorry.
But the trailer is pretty good.
Yes, the trailer. All right, I will add my 2 cents, which is actually a contrarian view. I didn't like this trailer very much. I like pieces of it. Really, I liked only one piece of this trailer, and that was Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey was great. The rest of this trailer was average, bordering on desperate. This trailer seemed like it was trying a bit too hard, but honestly, that doesn't really affect.
That's how the first
whether I want to watch it or not. Of course, I want to watch it.
You remember the first
exactly? I worked. I remember that.
Right.
But I really still want to watch this movie, especially for Jim Carrey. But I wasn't a big fan of this trailer at all.
Next
we have a trailer by the name of Electric Children.
Hello. What is that?
That's a cassette tape. But its purposes can be used for evil, so we'll keep it to those who can be trusted.
I think God got me pregnant through that blue tape.
Rachel, it has come to my attention that you are with child. I have contacted Ben Brooksby. His son, Elijah Brooksby, has agreed to marry you tomorrow night.
What?
Rachel! Right over right now, Rachel!
Heading to?
Do you want
to
come?
Are you guys speaking Japanese?
Douglas. The tape can be used for evil.
It can be used for evil. And not only can it be used for evil, it made her pregnant.
No, God made the tape make her pregnant.
Douglas, no. You know you want to watch this movie.
Of course I want to watch this movie. I actually clicked on the link and realized, holy crap, I've seen this trailer before and I love it to death. This trailer is, it's geared. It's specifically made for me and people like me. This trailer looks fantastic. The one thing I want to say though is I was very upset when they had some writing on the bottom of the screen that said a mixture between Witness and what was it again?
Almost Famous.
And I was so upset because it's clear why they said that was because the girl is clearly some sort of Amish or secular cult from one of those things,
right.
And she's following a guy in a band.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure this movie has nothing really to do with those two things per se. I mean, yes, you're gonna have elements from both, but it is not going to be a mixture between Witness and whatever. It's just that they have those two significant features.
I have not seen Witness.
You haven't?
I've been meaning to watch it.
Yeah. it's a Harrison Ford classic.
Okay.
Anyway, this trailer for me is great. It kind of ticks off all the boxes. Indie, awesome soundtrack. And
won't see till 2014. Well,
exactly, right? I love especially the voiceover of the father is great. It is seductively creepy, and
I want to have a voice like that. So badly. It's not working out. I need voice coach.
Yeah, you do.
Right? I want to submit my creepy uncle voice from early.
But, Andrew, for me, this is a 3 or 4 or 5 thumbs up. This is 5 stars. This
4 out of 4?
Great. 4 out of 4.
So this is one of those movies where you take your shoes off and start to stick up your big toes to count?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Big toes?
2 thumbs and 2 big toes up.
I only have one. I thought everyone had one.
So, Damien.
Yes.
What did you think of this trailer?
I thought the trailer was pandering.
Oh, of course
to people like Douglas. And I saw the trailer for what it was.
You mean that's in a combination movie. Of Witness and Almost Famous?
I saw it as, oh, this is cute. And the movie's going to be average at best. Like all of these trailers.
Remember how myself and Andrew got caught with a submarine trailer? Actually, yes. I think you got caught too, didn't yes. you? Oh,
and
my goodness.
Correct of a Wallflower.
No. Stop. Have you watched that movie?
Yes.
Do you really not like that movie?
No, Douglas, that is
that
not...
That movie is fantastic.
Douglas, that is not what I'm saying.
If I had watched that movie would be very high on my list.
Douglas.
No,
stop.
I have watched the movie. Oh, I mean, if
Douglas,
I had watched
stop.
It in the 2012. Yes, Andrew.
Damien, what were you saying? Damien is trying to tell us what he thought about Perks, and you keep interrupting him. I want to hear him so I can strangle him... Legitimately.
Okay, fair enough.
A 3 out of 4.
Alright, I'll accept that.
It is good, but not great.
Okay, I'll take that. You're alright.
Like, and that is the best movies like this can hope for. They have fantastic trailers, and then are saddled with mediocre movies.
Speaking of indie movies that are good but not great, have you revisited Sound of My Voice? You should. I love that movie.
I've been revisiting movies that I've had for a while and not watch. I watched Blow and Big Fish.
Big Fish?
I love Big Fish.
I did not like that movie. I remember.
That movie grows on you. the start of that movie is awful. And then by the end of the movie, because Tim Burton did a good job on this. Blow is spectacular. I can't believe Johnny Depp has decided to be quirky Johnny Depp for the rest of his life when he's such a good dramatic actor. He could have just been an actual person in movies and I'd have loved it more. But he decided to go down Jack Sparrow way and now we're fucked.
The funny thing is, he went down Jack Sparrow way long before Sparrow.
But now he's staying down that road. He's not even looking back anymore. It's just that.
Yeah.
It's just dreadlocks and makeup and nowhere bored.
Yep.
Andrew Robinson. What was it? Electric People?
Electric Children.
Right. Do you love it?
They had me at the tape can be used for evil. Okay, I'm with Douglas.
Wait, I just remember the one movie that escapes this.
And what is that?
Dog
Rare Exports.
Do you remember how much I loved that trailer and had to get you guys to
Douglas, I was not
on
board.
Oh my goodness.
I remember
nobody was
on board.
Only me.
Yes. And we saw that movie and it blew our minds. It was pretty rad.
You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. And you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
You forget me.
I could no more forget you than myself.
Heathcliff. Close your eyes.
Open your mouth.
So around, I think it's 3 or 4 years ago when we started this podcast, in one of the early episodes, we discussed Fish Tank, a film by Andrea Arnold. Mm-hmm. This is her follow-up movie, Wuthering Heights, a story that's been told a billion times. I'm pretty sure Damien has at least seen 5 different versions, because...
I have sisters, so yes.
Right. this is one of the cases, just like Anna Karenina, where mm-hmm. I know that it's something that has around 20 different movie versions, but this is actually the first one I'm really watching. I've never seen it before. But I want to hear from Damien first, mainly because of the comments he was making earlier that you didn't even finish the movie, right?
Yeah, I started watching this movie and went, this is terrible. This is a bad thing, and I don't want to watch this anymore. I don't think I'm going to watch the rest. I watched about half an hour of it and just really had a kind of a physical reaction to watching the rest of this movie. That's right. I know I'm supposed to do this to review this movie, but I'm not going to do this. This thing that Andrew has asked me to do. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry guys. I don't think it is shot well. I don't think the dialogue is any good. And I know this story and I don't want to watch it anymore. I really don't. And I wish you guys had your discussion first, because now it is this dark cloud over anything you guys are going to say.
So I read the email. Andrew sends, mm-hmm. actually we all send, we each send our picks via email. And I read Andrew's email and it said, Wuthering Heights.
Carrier pigeons.
So right, yeah, that's true.
I send them to Google.
No.
And then Google sends out the emails.
I use foxes because they're the fastest. Yeah, Robin Hood uses them.
Yeah, men in tights.
A series of tubes.
So Andrew sent in his email, Wuthering Heights 2011. Mm-hmm. And I searched for that Wuthering Heights.
Which doesn't exist.
And no. Hold on. And I realized he made an error. He didn't mean 2011. And no, he didn't mean 2012 either. He meant 2009. Now let me tell you why he meant 2009. Because the 2009 version of Wuthering Heights stars Tom Hardy. Therefore,
he must have meant
2009.
Fair enough.
And so that is the movie I watched. And
I should try that one. That sounds like a far superior plan.
Did you really watch the Tom Hardy version, Douglas?
No, I didn't. Actually, funnily enough, I've been searching Netflix for Tom Hardy for a very long time, and that's one of the movies that's on Netflix that he stars in, and for a very long time I've been considering it, but still actually haven't watched it. But I probably will one day.
The Cake is awesome.
It is, however, a PBS movie, so I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure where the source is, because most of PBS Masterpiece Theater movies are really BBC movies that they bring over to the States.
Okay, what's going on?
For people that can't see, which is literally everybody.
Including me.
A bug just flew onto Douglas's bed. And he beat it to death with his foot.
Yes, I did. Okay, anyway. I will actually talk about the movie that we're supposed to review. And I did watch.
It
which was
awesome
the 2011
had watched the
version
Tom Hardy
of Wuthering Heights. I need to watch Tom Hardy's
version.
Would have
been better.
So, I agree with Damien that this movie, hold on, has quite a bit of faults. But, I like this movie.
Have you seen?
No,
any
I haven't
of this
seen any other
version before.
I haven't seen any other version. I think that first off, this movie is beautiful, right? Damien disagrees vehemently, but this movie is beautiful.
It looks like
especially the way
one of those.
Can I tell you? I had to fast forward. when I started watching this movie, because this movie starts out without any credits, without anything at all. It's just you watching this guy, I've forgotten names, beating himself. Heathcliff, thank you. Mm-hmm. Beating himself up against the wall. And just that scene alone, the way the camera moves and the way it moves with him, it's fantastic, and it continues to do that for the rest of the movie. I agree that, and probably my biggest problem with this movie was the way, not necessarily that it was shot, but again, I have to pull out the Badlands card. Who directed Terrence Malick? I have to bring out the Terrence Malick card to say that there were quite a few significant portions in this movie where it felt like the whole story wasn't there. Not the whole story, but there was not much connection. You'd be at point A and move to point D without B and C being involved. But I can forgive this movie that, because the connection that is required, it's not a leap. It's more a hop. It's more a jump. It happens more times than it should. But I forgive it for the acting. I think the acting in this movie is fantastic, and whoever casted those two child actors did a beautiful job. These child actors were great, and they were in the movie for essentially half. It was half child actors and then half, actually they were in most of the movies, because it was half child actors followed by half adult actors with child actor flashbacks. So they were in most of it, and they were 100% believable, which is extremely difficult for children.
Believable, you say?
Yes, yes.
How many children do you know like that?
But that's, you have to first be done with the story, Damien. You cannot say that they didn't act good because you don't like the story.
No. My issue is not the acting.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying that children like that don't exist in, not even in this fake world. I didn't mean it.
No, I love this movie for the fact that it got essentially something similar to Damien. It got a physical response from me. I felt like, copy some of my comments about do the right thing to this movie, except in a good way. Because I really didn't like do the right thing, right? Mainly because of the subject matter, and probably especially because of the director.
Yes, you hate Spike Lee.
Honestly, hate him personally. Like, right, I like. I think he's a very good director.
Spike Lee.
Yes,
the person.
I think he's a racist, and I think
he's a shit.
He puts that squarely in the view of every single movie he's ever made.
He should tone it down sometimes.
Yes.
Spike Lee, we understand. Black people had it hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Now relax.
Right? I know, white people have to pay for it. Yeah. Right? But that's what his movies are all about.
Yes.
Forget Chocolate Giant. Forget Inside Man. It's all about how white people need to pay for slavery.
All I want to remember is Inside Man.
And I love that movie too. I wonder how
he thought about Django Unchained.
You know exactly what he thought about it without even watching it, how racist that man is. That man says that, you know what, Quentin Tarantino, probably because he's a white man, can't film a Western with slaves.
Right.
What the fuck? Anyway,
he's
back
probably
on
right.
point. Right?
Tarantino's probably right.
This movie, it made me empathize with actually both sides of the coin, because speaking to racism, this movie has prevalent a huge amount of racism inside of it. You see this child Heathcliff being persecuted time and time again, and he, you know, for the first say 15 minutes he gets a fairly decent run of the of life, and then, you know, the patriarch dies and he gets what the duck gets.
Yes.
So over that period you feel a huge amount of empathy towards him. Yeah?
Is there Is there ever a point where it kind of lets up? Because as I said, I didn't watch.
No, it doesn't really let up. It lets up in a sense when they become adults.
Mm-hmm.
But then now you see essentially what those seeds have sown, and what kind of a man he's become because of the inhumanities that he's been.
I thought that I was hoping that they might have, you know, strayed away from the quote-unquote formula some more,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of didn't, and that's another thing why I just found myself not
you
wanting
know what,
to watch this again.
I hear you, but I don't think this was that formulaic, and the way it was presented, definitely.
I thought in terms
even,
of the story,
yeah.
in terms of the movie itself being formulaic.
But
I was talking about in terms of the story that they're telling.
Yeah, but the way it's told is just, I love this. Okay. I think that this is a great movie, Andrew.
Andrew
Thank
Robinson.
You for making me watch this. While I do have a few problems with it, I was with it the whole way through. This was just a great watch. It was easy on the eyes, and some top class directing, acting, and just everything across the board.
So the reason why I picked this film was because around a
Sounds
week
like
ago,
he's gonna hate it now.
Mm-hmm.
I revisited Fish Tank, a film which I was kind of lukewarm on when we first discussed it years ago, and I fell so in love with it watching it again the other day. So I'm like, she has this movie which I've been hearing nothing but praise about, Wuthering Heights. We need to talk about it. And I agree with you 1000%, Douglas. This movie is brilliant. And I love it just because while for the first hour and a half, there is a lot of exposition into what's going on in this world. Even though that's occurring, around 80% of the story you're given is completely visual. There is this sense where you can almost feel the relationship that's being created between Heathcliff and Catherine in that first hour, where you get all of these ridiculous POV shots where, for example, early on he's riding this horse with her, and you just get like the entire frame filled with her hair. Because that's where his face is, he right behind her on the horse, you know. He looks down to the side of the horse where his hand is. And you get that feeling right there where he's probably thinking, can I put my hand on her thigh? She looks kind
of... Of course. The
you know?
Whole first half of this movie, every shot with the two of them in there is sexual. And
yeah.
Wow. And this is, again, children.
No, yeah, I was afraid. I was like, are they gonna go there? Like, did they film this in some crazy ass country and they could get away with it and they'll be like, it's okay? But they didn't. They didn't go there, at least not explicitly.
They implied.
They implied it.
It was not explicit. It was implicit.
Right. Right. And I love it for all of those visual touches. You bring up Terrence Malick, and you guys know that I'm a big fan of Malick. I'm a big fan of his for this very reason. There are some scenes towards the end of the movie when it just gets uncomfortably gorgeous as a narrative, where he has to deal with how he wants to have his quote-unquote revenge on these people who treated him like shit, just because he was a black man, and because he wasn't allowed to be with his daughter, his sister, because she was a white woman, and they want, and it's...
Wait, hold on. Before mm-hmm. people get his adopted sister.
His adopted
not
sister.
Blood relation.
Sorry,
so
not blood
not
relation. Apologies.
Please.
For anyone who hasn't heard the story of Wuthering Heights, like Andrew, like me, I think the movie deals with that revenge so well because it never goes into the Korean territory, which we kind of love so much. It stays into this implicit fuck you mentality, where he's kind of just gnawing at this guy who's become a shell of a man, who has no wife, his child is just walking around the farm looks decrepit, his sister's married off, and I'm guessing that's where he gets all of his money from at this point. You know, it just becomes a sad version of revenge. But still, Heathcliff is this guy who is just, for some reason, continually attached to Catherine, unable to let go of her, right? And it becomes a bitter ideal in how it's enacted, but it still had me. It still had me just continually looking for those visual moments where even when they come back, when he comes back as an adult and for the first time they ride out together, he rides out with Catherine and they go up on that hill. And throughout all of the adult section, they have this thing where wherever they go back to these places, they have a second of a flashback to something we saw earlier, to remind us that this place means something to these two characters. And where in this one scene, she pushed him over and put her boot on his face, like showing how angry she was at the fact that he left her, that he went away. And once again, it goes back to this POV moment, and it's able to create the emotion, not just for the characters, but for me as a viewer, and I think that is the greatest compliment any film can give. I can give any film. and that's what this film is through and through. I apologize, Damien, that I picked a movie which you've seen the story for 5 billion times.
It's not really your fault.
But
no need for. I just, like, there's a lot of times you watch a movie and you're not in the right frame of mind to watch it. I'm sure 5 years from now, you'll watch it again.
Exactly. Anyway, I want us to kind of wrap this up, but I want to say one last thing about this movie. And
Tom Hardy is not in it.
Tom Hardy is not in it, but this actually added points to this movie. Right, this movie gets added points. Why? Because the only piece of music that is there
was that Mumford and Sons.
It is. It's Mumford and Sons, and it's actually a song that I don't believe is on either of their albums that I own. And now I need to find it somehow.
That little man.
That song was awesome. I definitely usually in the movies that we watch, I stop somewhere in the beginning of the credits. I kept going so that I could listen to the rest of this song. I loved it today.
Did you see the post credit scene, by the way?
No, I didn't. I will know. I will now have to watch it again.
Can movies stop that now?
Yeah, that's not cool. Can I tell you?
Well, the psychopath is the only one who have done it right so far. Everybody else has done it poorly. We don't need post credit scenes.
because this
is a thing with movies where just like you, Douglas, I generally turn it off like in the beginning of the credits. But every once in a while, when a movie kind of floors me like this one, I just leave it running because I just like to hear whatever music it puts there, and I just continually think about it, and I just didn't stop it. And then I saw, oh, there's more, you know. Like I did that with when I saw Schindler's List, where I was like, I can't press stop. I'm still crying right now. I can't do that.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
Well, this was the unnamed poo movie. I'm sorry.
The unnamed poo unnamed poop after
Andrew Poop. I would
How
call
do you
for
say that? Is
to
that
boycott. I call for everyone to boycott both this and his subsequent podcast, his future podcast that we aren't on. But
you guys can come on. We can
you're already listening to this, so it's already too late. We've already fucked that up. So, you can find Andrew on the internet. You can find Douglas on the internet.
And sadly,
you can also find me on Twitter. Andrew's at G-Man Reviews. His Twitter handle is G-Man Reviews. His Gmail handle is G-Man Reviews. Look, if you type anything /G-Man Reviews into the Amazon /G-Man Reviews.
If you put Google/G-Man Reviews, you'll find something.
If you put G-Man/G-Man Reviews, Douglas is DJR lost his name on Twitter. You can find him on some other websites, I'm pretty sure. And sadly, you can do the same with me. This was fun. I really thought that tonight was going to be terrible. But we turned it around. It was pretty good. So thanks for listening. And Andrew Robinson, we're never doing a Sunday podcast again.
Just to know that you are. hearts, man, a heart of reeling from my toes up to my ears. Man in me will hide sometimes to keep from being seen, but that's just because he doesn't want to turn into some machine. Take a woman like you to get through.